Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hey, what's up? This is Christian with the Most High Show, chilling with my man, Adam
Abramowitz.
Inside the mind's eye.
Inside the mind's eye, yep.
Yeah. Half a self-will run.
Yeah. The more gingery, Jewy half of self-will run.
Is it the self or the will part?
I'm probably the run part. Oh, okay. I can never stop moving.
Yeah. So I was just hipping Adam to some West Coast, Dr. Octagon, Delchon 3030. The West Coast, it's a great place for hip-hop, man. It's good stuff. Cool Keith is from Hollywood, and used to see him walking around the streets of Hollywood. He's a pretty crazy character. And then Del is from the Bay, so.
Deltron 3.
Yeah, Del. Yeah, Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Funky Homo Sapien. Now, yeah. My generation and below are known from the Gorillaz. I'd never heard his record he just showed me.
So before Gorillaz, Deltron 3030. Before Deltron 3030, he was Del the Funky Homo Sapien, and he had his own stuff. And then before that, he was with Hieroglyphics, which is Souls of Mischief. You know who Souls of Mischief are?
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy. Then we're going to do that next. Souls of Mischief. They come out from the Bay. And so it was back in 95, in the 90s, that the Bay had these dope artists came out. Hieroglyphics, Casual, Souls of Mischief, all kinds of great groups.
Yeah, this is awesome for me because I've never dug deeper than Dr. Dre, NWA, Cypress Hill, and then People Under the Stairs is new for me, but they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And I haven't, Deltron I know from Gorillaz, but this is all, it's like discovering music that's.
It'll inform some things, man, because when you hear it, you'll be like, oh, I hear how this influenced hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It makes me sad, you guys. It makes me sad that we're losing the jazz fusion hip hop style boom bap in popular music today. It's I love that shit. Can we cuss on here?
Yeah.
I love that shit.
I don't know who else. I mean, J. Cole kind of maybe bringing some of that in.
Yeah, Logic too.
Logic, maybe a little bit. And I'm sure there's a bunch of underground artists who are doing it justice.
Yeah, right? Tribe Called Quest, Outkast, but those aren't regular in our time, but like those are some of my favorites.
Yeah. So we're doing the podcast today. We want to talk about, we're kind of like trying to do something different where we're like, we're still talking about recovery because that's just who we are. But one of the things that happened last month was we announced that we were going to do an app. And then we were like, well, let's see if we could raise the money to pay for the deposit, which is $1,000 to get the thing started. And then mess around and hit $1,000 in a week. And then it was like, oh, crap, now we got to actually do this.
Mm-hmm. It becomes real.
It becomes real. And a couple people gave like in big ways too. So that was like, wow. So, it became real.
Yeah, you don't want to let anyone down. You know, like we know we want to help. Right. And we want to get the message out there.
Yeah.
But with today's day and age, with the climate on social medias like Instagram, Facebook, everybody's vying for attention. And it's a clusterfuck of look at me, look at this, look at that.
Right. And that's what I felt like. I would kind of scroll through those feeds and I can feel myself getting depressed as I scroll. I'm like, why am I feeling so sad? As I just continue scrolling, like subconsciously, like it's like I'm not even in control of myself. I'm just scrolling the feed. And then it's like, oh, shit, I'm looking at social media. I need to just put this thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like, wow. And there's a lot of great things happen on social media. And so that we're going to continue to post stuff on social media. But I also kind of had this sense of like, man, like in some sense, we're just contributing to the noise. In some way, you know,
absolutely,
some level. So that's where the idea of the app came. And then I just kind of put it out there, and everyone was like, yeah, let's do it. So, which is awesome. That's how you kind of getting involved, right?
Yeah.
Helping us to kind of navigate what that app's going to look like, what kind of content, how are we going to produce the content. There's so much that goes into this app that's, you know, it's going to make us be more organized. We got to get, so.
And it's we're in a day and an age and a time as entrepreneurs or as people with ideas that we want to, good ideas we want to spread, where we're going to have to learn as we're doing it. Like we're stepping into the unknown.
Right.
You're creating something that has not been there, that is not there yet.
Right.
And people, when you're creating something new, naturally we're resistant to change anyway, just as human beings.
Right.
And then also by saying, hey, here's this thing I made that could be helpful. It's like, we want to actually, I know when I'm scrolling, it's like, I want to prove someone wrong before they can even show me the great thing that they have.
Right.
And it's faulty thinking on our part.
Right.
You know, it's,
yeah.
And so it's like, as you move forward, it's interesting to be able to meet here and talk about the process, because it is, we have to be aware of what's working and what's not working on a daily basis,
yeah,
and then adjust accordingly.
Right. Yeah. So we found, we did this short film, Megan's Prayer, we call it, about, suicide, mental health and addiction and how they all correlate. So it's a 20-minute film, and that has seemed to get some traction, where we screened it at Vision Warriors, which is like a sober living community. We screened it there, and we screened it down in Serenby. And in those screenings, you have the opportunity to really sit with people, play them the film. It's 20 minutes, so you really get into it, and then you have a great conversation afterwards. So it's not to say like this format is going away, but I can see the long format stuff really living on the app.
And that's what's blowing me away right now, is like, because the only content I really care about creating is long form content.
Right.
I'm not interested in just getting blasted in the face with some flashy visual thing about what I should or shouldn't do with my life or who I should or shouldn't help. It's like, I want to really tap into something that's going to change the way I think.
Right. Yeah.
Change the way I see the world and feel about myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not happening on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat too.
Yeah.
The best, like in our culture right now, podcasting for me is like the lifeline to everything I've been able to do up to this point. Without podcasts, I would have no idea what the hell I've been doing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've learned a lot about in my faith through listening to podcasts of people who I never would have come into contact with in this, like where I live, and finding them, reading a book by them, and then going to their podcast, and then getting a more in-depth understanding of what way they're coming from. And yeah, so
it relates to the recovery thing too. It's like,
yeah,
if you want to recover and you be around people who are recovering and you digest things that are helpful for your journey.
Right.
It's the same thing with entrepreneurship or hip hop, like we're talking about. It's like, if there's something you want to be good at, be around people that are doing it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, I mean, podcast has really helped. So there's something to do. I like what was really cool about the art of this long format is I was able to see how the art that we're creating was directly tying to some practical applications. So one of the guys that's on the Megan story on the short film, his name's Britt, and he's a licensed, got all the letters after his name, right? Yeah. He's like all this stuff. And so after we show this film, he, you know, we talk about it, and then he gets up and says, so who in this room has either attempted suicide or thought about it? And 80% of the guys rose their hand. And so he says, so we start to talk about it, and then someone brings the question, well, what do we do if someone asks, like tells us they want to commit suicide? And so we kind of go into this impromptu kind of crisis intervention class almost, you know? And he proceeded to say, look, like if somebody comes to you and they're saying that they have been considering suicide, they've chosen you for a reason, right? And to think that you're not qualified and you got to just send them to a professional is like he said that you, that we're more qualified, right? Because we've had the feelings, we've had the thoughts, we've, some of us have attempted it. So it's like, we know how to identify with that person right away.
I can tell you right now off the bat, all the people that I've loved who've committed suicide did not reach out at all. And they were, I was extremely close with them. And then one day I woke up and they were gone.
Right.
I've got friends right now who I'm still have relationships with, who we have communicated about those thoughts.
Right.
And we're still here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, talking about it is huge. And so I think that's like what the long format, you know, and what's really cool, seeing the art connect to a practical kind of solution, this conversation happening. So that's kind of where the app will be housing this kind of long format, because in that way, and the app is going to be on Roku. It'll be Apple TV. It'll be Android and iOS. So it'll be everywhere, you know, because I feel like when you post something on YouTube, something special, it's kind of like cheapens it a little bit, you know. It's like anyone can see it and dislike it, or no one can watch it, you know. And it's like to be able to put it somewhere where it's going to exist with other art that's similar, and you have to be intentional to get to it, I think is going to be really good.
I mean, it's, we're at this new phase where, because it's been the last 10 years almost of people making content that is instantaneous, all the gateways are flooded, YouTube, all the social stuff is flooded. Yeah. So really the artistic thing to do is like a portrait, like you just described, is having something to show off the art itself, because anything can be art. You know, you get online and your mind changes depending on what you're actually, what environment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So if your mind is in the Facebook environment, you're looking for validation. You're looking for, I mean, I hate to say it, but I do it too, but like I'm judging things.
Yeah.
It hurts. I've had to unfollow friends because I'm seeing what they're posting and I don't agree with it. And all of a sudden I feel like I'm losing a friend. My mindset is hardwired when I get on Facebook to judge shit.
Yeah. Oh, I'll give you a like.
Yeah.
That's why they won't put that dislike button in there.
It's messed up. It's like, yeah, because, and that's not how we want it to be. Like we want to create stuff that has room to breathe.
I watch my dad when he's on Facebook, and this is what he'll scroll, hits like, scroll, hits like. It's like 5 seconds into the video, hits like, scrolls. I was thinking like, man, half of my likes are probably just him, like just scrolling through, just liking pages.
Oh, man, for sure. And you know what? And it feels like you're making a difference. It's like.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Handing out likes. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm co-sign. Yeah.
I approve of this message. It's like, exactly. Yeah, I feel good about myself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
And at the same time, I'm terrified to comment. Like, yes. I'm terrified to actually say what I'm thinking.
Right, because then you're going to get backlashed and people are going to be hollering at you.
And then I'm going to get all these notifications and it's just like, oh my God, now I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Peace of mind on the internet this day and age is like, we kind of feel like we have to create it.
Right. So that's kind of the concept of creating the app. And so what we're doing is we're considering this, if you think of it like a network channel, like a Vice News channel or a HGTV channel, where it's 24/7 recovery content, right? So some of the stuff that we've looked at, that we're looking at, we brainstormed this last week, is...
Let's put it in front of the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get it right over here, because I'm proud of this.
Yeah.
This is a whiteboard, and I highly recommend this for anybody who's interested in mapping out what they want, their dreams, their ideas for their future self. If you're in sobriety, what is your goals? If you're an entrepreneur, where do you want to go? Whiteboards are awesome.
Just get one.
So that was a plug for
for whiteboards.
Go down to Walmart, you guys. Get yourself.
This podcast sponsored by Dry Erase.
Dry Erase.
The makers of Dry Erase markers. So I don't know if you could read it, but it's basically, we want to begin to cultivate artists who are in recovery. There's a lot of creatives, and we want to give them kind of a channel and a voice, right? So whether they're writing essays or they have drawings or they do short stories, whatever, we want to be able to say, hey, here's a section of the app that's what's going to be. It's going to be kind of community curated content.
Mm.
And then we want to do, you know, where we kind of like continuing on the 12 step. We want to do a lot of 12 step stuff, continue with that. We have long format, which we talked about. We talked about doing something uncensored, which is like, if you're in the recovery community and you sit around and late night and y'all are hanging out and you're just joshing over pancakes, then some really crazy shit's going to get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments are always so rejuvenating for me because I laugh and I'm so thankful I'm not there anymore, but it's just, so we want to do something like that, uncensored.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about mental health in some capacity. We have self-discovery, which would contain things pertaining to faith or religion, God, those
universe, kind
of, the universe, abstract concepts, all that stuff. We want to be able to have a place for that.
Well, we were talking about shamanism and physics the other day.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
A shaman physicist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to read some more of his stuff.
I mean, we're in a time now where what we're able to do, theorizing relativity and universal space dynamics and stuff like that, it equivalates to the quarks and atoms. It's spiritual. Like, we don't understand this shit.
Yeah.
It's happening. And shamans are real, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Like, we have never had access to the amount of information we have now, right? Like, just the concept of, like, in an atom, right? That there's, like, 99.9999% of an atom is space.
Yep.
And the rest of it's just these things moving around in it. Which, when you look at matter and you knock on it, you're like, how is this 99.9? Basically, when you get down to the fundamental level of it, it's space.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that everything's vibrating, and I don't want to trip some people out.
Well, it's the same as the universe. 99% of the universe is space. 98% right. Or something.
Yeah.
And then there's all this dark matter and dark energy, which are terms we've created because we don't know.
Right.
Dark matter and dark energy means I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So all that kind of stuff in the self-discovery world. And we also want to help. Like, I think it's important to me that if somebody is of a faith, I want to help. I want to be a means to help you live the most authentic version of that faith.
Absolutely.
Right. Because I do believe that faith can be, religion at its best can be very helpful for those of us in recovery. We know what it is at its worst. And then another channel that we're trying to think of is 12 step, but focusing on the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. I learned this the other day. The Q is for queer, which means weird. So like, they already have lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans. The Q is just like, it's like the open term like for anybody. Yeah, catch all. Like, I can be, I'm a weirdo, so
yeah, I'm probably,
LGBTQ.
Yeah, I'm a Q.
Yeah,
totally.
And I got a lot of questions too.
So that, I feel like, is an underserved population as far as having a voice in the recovery community. That I know that there's a lot of,
it's tough. You're dealing with two different identities. It's tough just being an alcoholic or drug addict, and then, you know, conflict with feeling different your whole life, feeling, you know, like you, when you, if you're homo or heterosexual in those types of families, it's tough.
Yeah. So, we want to get people who are knowledgeable in that to speak on that behalf and give that a place of voice. And so that's kind of what we got so far, right? Those are kind of like what we would, if you're thinking of it as a network, you'd have, these will all be channels. I mean, these will all be shows on that channel,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's kind of the concept thus far. And then we're going to let it grow and build as is. And then,
well, by the way, segue real quick. Are you open for people who may be interested in hosting something like that to reach out to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, we want to screen as much of our content to as many people as we can. And that's kind of our approach right now, is to get the go and kind of showcase the app, showcase the content in IOPs, sober living, rehabs, churches, synagogues, whoever will have us. We want to have that conversation in those places and then leave behind the resource to say, hey, you can download this app. If you don't know, if someone comes to you and they're an alcoholic addict and you, all you can do is say, go to this website and find a meeting in your area, we'll add our app to that, right? Mm-hmm. Here's some content that's all recovery based. It's going to help to inform and hopefully inspire and uplift and keep you alive for one more day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about if somebody was like listening to this who did grow up gay in a heterosexual environment, fell into drugs and alcohol and addiction,
yeah,
is now getting sober and having a difficult time finding people to relate to,
right,
but wants to get his message or his or her message out, would you be open to letting them host a show?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. We want to be a, you know, kind of a, I don't remember what it was called, but Russell Simmons from Def Jam, right? That's Simmons. He came up with something called, and it was him and the old vice president. They came up with this thing, and it was supposed to be like a curated content where people just kind of posted stuff. It was all news. Can't remember what it was called, Cure or something. And so that's kind of the concept. Like, I want to have as many people submitting, and that'll probably be later on. You know, in the beginning, we're going to probably be having to create a lot of the content because there's some, we want to maintain, you know, people be talking crazy. I can't have somebody talking crazy.
That's what we were
crazy.
Talking about. There's a whole part of this thing about culture.
Yeah.
Integrity, you know, yeah. Unity. What kind of atmosphere are we cultivating?
Right.
And that is important.
Yeah. Well, I think we determined that, one of the things that works with 12 Step is it's an action-based program,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's, we want to kind of stick to that as a core kind of value, right? We want to be action-based. So we're not just kind of giving concepts and ideas only, you know?
And I know from my experiences in recovery is I feel like having something to do all the time and was mega helpful.
Yeah.
Just to be doing stuff, you know, showing up, engaging with people who are struggling or going through the same thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, cuz all I really know how to do is just keeping it real before I got sober was use dope all the time. That's all I really knew how to do.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know how to be sad. I didn't know how to be like present for people. Mm-hmm. And so all this stuff is like learning it over these years and finding a way to communicate it for someone like me or you who's like trying to make sense of this stuff as they're going through it.
Yeah.
That's what we want to, create the community that can do that for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing is I feel like we can be this app and what we're doing can be a bridge between people who are ignorant to it or they see the stats and they think it's so outlandish that it's not real.
And a lot of times people just don't know. They see the stats and people just don't know.
Right.
Like that's the thing. Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Eating right. Disorders Anonymous. They're developed in a way to where we don't publicize in the traditions. If you're a member, you're not supposed to.
Right.
And I feel like life is too short and things are changing too quickly to not get the message out there for kids like me who didn't know any of this stuff was there.
Right. Yeah, well, like I was listening to one of our earlier podcasts with Mitchell, and one of the things that Mitchell said when he got sober was he said that he had a call with his mom, and his mom was like, "You need to go to rehab," and he was like, "Oh, that never even occurred to me to go to rehab." Yeah. Like there would be a solution.
Yeah,
and then someone was like, "Go to a meeting," and he was like, "What?" Like it just never occurred to him to go. So I think. I like that some people, should you want to keep yourself anonymous, I like that there's a place for that.
Well,
right?
I mean, from my background as a professional in the field of recovery, mental health and addiction, and as somebody who was trying to become, who was actively using, trying to get better, I was brought to a Suboxone doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Here's some Suboxone, go to meetings." And I had no idea what a meeting was. And professionally, you're not really supposed to use 12-step programs as a means of your treatment plan that you're providing people.
Oh.
It's essentially a gap that people are bridging, that we are bridging, because it's helpful and it works. But professional-wise, it's like there's nothing really out there to actually explain how these systems work for people that are coming in that want help.
Right.
It's tough because you'll just, for in my case, I just got handed some medication, you know, was told there's a group therapy thing, go to this. I wish I could have had an understanding of all this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And that's what hopefully having all that content living in one space that somebody would say, "Hey, download this app, check out this podcast." Like I always recommend, there's a couple podcasts I always recommend. There's one where a guy, we did step 9 and he explained how he was 5 years clean, stopped going to meetings, stopped having a sponsor, stopped doing all the work, started drinking. After he started drinking for a little bit, he got drunk in a car accident, blacked out, killed someone, spent 11 years in prison. So his story is like a story of like, why not to relapse? Why to keep going to meetings? Why to keep calling your sponsor? And why to like not just abandon it and think that you got it? Because
I don't got it. I'm 6 years sober now. I don't like every day I wake up just what am I going to learn today?
Yeah.
Like there is powerlessness. I mean, this is philosophical in nature, but powerlessness is basically recognizing that there's nothing I could do about anything that happened before this moment.
Yeah.
I'm powerless over everything happening leading up to now.
Yeah.
And I have to learn how to make choices that are difficult or challenging for my natural state. My natural state is to be stoned and lazy.
Right. Or to avoid issues or problems or
escape. Yeah.
Yeah. It's to like escape from reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, you know what they say, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, you know? So,
that's true.
So in the vein of that kind of one day at a time, we can only do what we can do. That's where we're at. But I thought that it'd be cool to, based on kind of our conversations, is to like open up the curtain and show like, this is all the shit that has to happen for us to be able to produce something. And so that people can see kind of behind that. And I think it's just, it's more real because we are in recovery and there's a stigma that when you're in recovery, that somehow like you're just really bad at life. And you'd be really surprised how many people who are amazing, high functioning, contributing to society in the most amazing ways because they're in recovery, because there's a community that supports them, because they've been allowed a safe place to be themselves, because they've been in an environment that doesn't judge them when they have crazy thoughts. They have people they can talk to when they have crazy thoughts. And to me, people in recovery are some of the most healthy people on the planet. That's just been my experience. And I would even venture as far to say that I've known more healthy people in recovery than I have in my Christian community. That there's something about the 12 step and the having to face your demons or you will die that somehow brings a sense of clarity to the universe, the world around you, and other humans that, you know, nothing else does. Yeah.
Yeah. That really makes you realize, like, I'm here and I've only got one shot at this thing. Because you can't, like, I could hide all day. I could be afraid. I could be just try to fit myself into what I think people want me to do.
Right.
But once you start unveiling that, once you start realizing the inner workings, from in my case, of my mind, my subconscious behaviors that are affecting me in harmful ways, be it isolation, depression,
yeah,
drug use, anything, the 12-step program is, it's like the work that allowed me to do brought me into, I don't know, it just brought me into realizing like, I'm breathing and I don't have to do, like, I don't have to live the way I've been living.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, we're right there at that 30-minute mark.
Are we really? 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Holy shoot.
Yeah.
Shiza.
And so we're gonna play some Souls of Mischief. And
did you want to show them a little bit about like what it takes to create something like this?
What? How? What do I do?
I don't know. We got these microphones. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. I started trying to learn how to do
I got podcasts. Inspired. I was watching a podcast and I was like, oh, let's shoot something right now. I got these little doohickeys to put the mics in.
I started with the voice memos on the iPhone is where I started.
Yeah. I just got out of a meeting this morning and that's what it was. It was like, they were asking me, how do you do the podcast? And it's like, you know, it's not about how you do it. What's more important than anything is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody shared with me, one of my friends, Ian, he said that, I love listening to your podcast because every podcast has a blooper in it. It has you saying like, oh, I'll edit that out. Don't worry about that. Or something that like lets him know that this is a real, genuine moment that we're having, that we're not like kind of putting up the front or anything like that. You know, I took that as a huge compliment, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if anybody catches a blooper in this episode, we're going to walk you down to Walmart. We're going to get you a brand new, because this is sponsored by Whiteboard. Get you a brand new whiteboard.
By the makers of dry erase. Whatever dry erase is, the chemist who made dry erase, that's who sponsored this.
Is it Kimberly Clark?
I don't know.
Kleenex? By the way, my shout out to Mrs. Stokes, my fourth grade teacher. I now will never, ever call a handkerchief a Kleenex anymore. Because Kimberly Clark makes handkerchiefs.
Oh.
Disposable handkerchiefs.
Not Kleenex.
Kleenex also. Kleenex also
That's
makes.
It's like Band-Aids, right?
Is Band-Aid a brand or is that
Band-Aid's the brand. It's really a bandage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, my fourth grade teacher had a husband who worked for the other company besides Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what other company there is.
I didn't know either. Apparently, Kimberly Clark is a company that produces Kleenexes, but they're not supposed to be called Kleenexes because Kleenex is a brand.
Oh, interesting. Well, just like you can't talk about AA, but you can talk about steps.
I feel like I do a lot of talk about AA.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing. The way I learned about it, you can't say you're a member of AA. By the way, all this will be edited out.
Yes.
You can't say
this far.
As long as you can't say you're a member. But and also the way I wrap my get around it, I'll just rattle off a few of them. I'll be like AA, EDA, CANA, and it's right. Like they can all get me. Like I'm blasting. I'm like I want to talk about all of it.
Yeah. But absolutely.
Yeah. It's
yeah. So we're going to keep working on the app and then once it's done, you'll know. And so we still have to pay a monthly fee on it. So we still need to kind of make sure that we keep some sort of monthly donation coming in to cover that. And then we're getting some volunteers. We need volunteers. So if you want to come in as we're legit nonprofit. So if you court ordered and you need to put hours in somewhere, you could do that with us.
All right.
And you can be editing videos, uploading videos. Interviewing people,
sharing your story,
all kinds of cool
writing,
stuff.
Writing, video,
way
podcasting.
Better than raking leaves at the clubhouse downtown.
This is for real. You could sign off for volunteer hours.
Yeah,
holy Absolutely. Shit! Yeah. I hope that would be the move. Yeah. We'll help you learn how to podcast. We'll help you learn how to write. We'll help you learn how to do all this stuff if you would like to be involved.
Yeah, absolutely. We need it. We need help.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's it. Thanks for listening, and holla at your boy.
Yeah, and get yourself, you know, send us an email. Where are they emailing to?
Oh, contact at the Most High Show.
contact@themosthighshow.com, and the first email, we're going to take you to Walmart, get you a dry erase whiteboard.